Good morning. The question I'm asked so many times is, why do you put so much emphasis on baptism? I must tell you that I'm not responsible for the place that baptism occupies in God's plan of salvation. It is there, not because I advocated it, but because God has ordained it. Since I had nothing to do with giving the scriptures, I cannot be held responsible for baptism being taught therein. Had the matter been left in my hands, I would never have included baptism in any plan for man's remission of sins. I don't believe any man would have devised this means of being saved, and that only proves that God, and not man, set forth the terms by which we are to be saved or be redeemed. God declared long ago, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:8-9. We must answer to God and not God to us. Jehovah speaks, we must hear and obey. I have never had any faith in baptism to save. No, my faith is in him who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:16. Baptism tests my faith in God, and it is because of that faith that I was baptized with Christ in baptism, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians 2:12. It is through faith in God who raised up Christ that one is baptized, believing that God will raise him up to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. We must admit that baptism has caused many people to stumble at God's word, but this does not mean that it is therefore non-essential to salvation. Think of the multitudes who have stumbled at Christ. "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Romans 9:32-33. Is Christ to be repudiated merely because men have stumbled over him? Peter preached, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:11-12. Don't reject Christ nor what he's taught. Of course, many seek to discount the idea of such a test of faith, but the idea of an ark didn't stack up as such a brilliant idea to those before the flood descended. Not many medical journals would feature a brazen serpent as a snake bite remedy. Nor do you find many physicians advocating that lepers dip 7 times in a muddy stream to be healed. However, these things worked when God prescribed them. Those who reject baptism because it doesn't fit into their preconceived notions of what should be done are not showing faith in God's counsel. This was shown regarding the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Luke 7:30. Just the opposite of this attitude was shown on the day of Pentecost. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:41. Which group demonstrated true faith in God? After all, a command is never to be taken lightly. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:48. Then the household of Cornelius did not argue, neither should we. The force of the Scripture sets forth this truth. God has placed baptism squarely between the sinner and every spiritual blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Since all spiritual blessings are in Christ, it is evident that we do not have access to them while out of Christ. Therefore, man can have no spiritual blessings until he enters into Christ, and this is done in baptism. No, man did not arrange it this way. It was God's decree. After the Lord ordained it so, man has no right to revise, alter, or rearrange it. Man either accepts it or he rejected the counsel of God against himself. Look at the alien sinner's state before baptism. Before Christ came to save, every man was condemned in sin. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10-23. Don't get the idea that there are exceptions to this. John emphatically states, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 1 John 1 verse 10. Before the alien sinner is baptized, he is dead in his sins. Paul wrote the Ephesian saints, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Until Christ came, the whole world was utterly undone. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. The world was already hopelessly lost. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2 verse 12. To escape this terrible plight is the blessing Christ came to offer to sinful man. But this saving grace is extended on God's plainly stated terms. God has set forth certain requirements for the alien sinner to do in obtaining all spiritual blessings. First, he must hear the gospel of his salvation. Regarding saving faith, the question was asked, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Romans 10:14. The answer to the question is found in verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is no wonder that Peter prefaced his sermon by saying, you men of Israel, hear these words. Acts 2:22. What assurance to read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Surely we must believe. Jesus said, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Most emphatically it is stated, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But just as emphatically Jesus taught, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3 and verse 5. And Peter proclaimed, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3:19. But as shown before, it is by baptism that we are inducted into Christ to obtain all spiritual blessings. Romans 6:3-4, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and Galatians 3:26-27. Paul wrote, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2 verse 10. But with this salvation located in Christ by baptism, how can discerning men reject the counsel of God against themselves in refusing to be baptized, as did the Pharisees and lawyers? Jesus was very plain and straightforward in saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. One who believes not shall be damned, but one who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Lord put baptism squarely between the sinner and salvation. He did not indicate that one was saved before baptism, but rather salvation came as a result of being baptized. Baptism looks forward to that blessing. The word shall be denotes future action, not that already accomplished. The sinner is baptized with hope that his sins shall be forgiven. On Pentecost, Peter preached Jesus Christ as a crucified and risen Savior. The Jews assembled were pricked in their hearts and cried, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:36-38. This reveals that the alien sinner receives remission of sins after being baptized, and not before. Baptism stands before sinners and remission of sins. To argue otherwise opposes the plain teaching of God's Word. All gainsayers can deride until the dawn of eternity, and yet Acts 2:38 will still declare that baptism is for or unto the remission of sins. Sectarian delegates may get it removed from their creed books, but it still remains in God's sacred revelation. After Saul of Tarsus had waited in fasting and prayer for 3 days, Ananias was sent to him by the Lord. When he came, he told Saul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Don't argue that Saul's sins had already been washed away, and that he was saved, for he had been in deep depression and not eating or drinking for 3 days. If he were saved, the Lord didn't know it. For he said it should be told Saul what he should do. Acts 22:10. if he were saved, Ananias didn't know it, for he told him to be baptized and thus wash away his sins. And if Saul was a saved man, he was the most miserable saint on earth. No, baptism stood between Saul of Tarsus and the washing away of sins. Until one has been converted, he is outside of Christ. But it is by baptism that one can enter the Lord. Paul said, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. So many emphasize this birth by faith, but repudiate what Paul said of it. Yes, they were children of God by faith, for they were baptized into Christ and put him on. This was the key to their salvation. One is not put on Christ, nor entered into him until baptized. It is by baptism that one enters the body of Christ, which is the church. Ephesians 1:22-23 and Colossians 1:18. Paul said, "For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body." 1 Corinthians 12:13. So, the alien sinner is outside the church, the body of Christ, until baptized into it. It is then he obtains remission of sins, and being saved is added to the church by the Lord. Acts 2:47. Man is not responsible for baptism being so forcefully taught in the Scriptures. They are given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Man did not place baptism between the alien sinner and salvation. This is the work of God. Man cannot alter that divine arrangement. If you reject the counsel of God by rejecting His teaching on baptism, where does that leave you? You will be left outside of Christ, His body, the church, and apart from the saving blood shed in His death. You will not be saved, have remission of sins, or walk in newness of life. So, what do you gain by refusing to obey Him in baptism? On the other hand, you can be even as those who heard that first gospel sermon by Peter. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:41. If you submit to his will in baptism, you will enjoy all the spiritual blessings in Christ, for the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47. If your preacher says that you are saved only by faith and baptism has nothing to do with salvation, ask him kindly to explain the Scriptures in God's Word that speaks of baptism. Then please give me a call or have him contact me and explain it to me. One of us must be wrong, or even both of us, but both of us cannot be right. Your soul depends on it. I look forward to your reply. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.